You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the decommissioning of a coal-fired power station along the Mississippi, about 15 miles south of La Crosse. Dairyland Power Cooperative announced plans recently to close its plant there in Genoa by the end of next year. It'll mark the end of a half century of continuous operation at the site. Do you live near this coal power plant, or can someone you know work at the Genoa 3 station? What's the job like? We're at 800-642-1234. Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you recently talked with Wisconsin Dairyland Power Cooperative. Why did they decide to shut down this coal-powered facility?
It's really, really largely economic. The plant is older, more expensive to operate, and in today's wholesale markets, prices just more often than not are not above the operating costs for these plants. So they're sort of forced to often run at a loss or operate really inefficiently. This is certainly not the first plant to retire. I think there've been 292 coal plants since 2015 that have shut down, and this joins a list of 78 others that are scheduled to retire by 2025. So it's really part of a bigger trend.
So this is more about efficiency than it is about a trend toward retiring coal plants and the climate.
Well, they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, it's one where the replacement, what's coming on, is often solar and wind, which are renewable, or natural gas, which, depending on who you talk to, is possibly better for the climate, maybe not. But then there is certainly that economics underpinning it. This is a plant that in 2011 was running at 80% of its capacity, which is really kind of a sweet spot for coal. Those plants are kind of like semis. They do best when they just keep running. They don't takes a lot of energy to restart them, so you don't want to slow them down and speed them up. But by 2018, I think it was only operating about 56% of capacity. So it just they end up sort of saying, you know, they're chasing the wind power, which is a lot cheaper. And so they end up filling in the gaps around that, which is just not an efficient way to run a coal plant.
Okay, so then we learned last month that regulators approved the construction of a $700 million natural gas plant in Superior, and this is being developed by both Dairyland Power Cooperative and Minnesota Power, which is based in Duluth. How is this new project affecting the decision at all to close the coal-fired plant?
I think it's hard not to see them going hand in hand. Dairyland has sort of touted the Nemadji Trail project as a key piece of their transition to more sustainable energy and diversification from, you know, Dairyland was even just a few years ago was almost 90% of their generation was coal. So they really are trying to diversify. I don't think it's a coincidence that they announced this just a week after getting approval for Nemadji Trail. And Nemadji Trail will then be a big piece of filling in some of their capacity obligations that they'll lose, you know, when they close.
So they're diversifying their mix of energy production. But what do they do during that interim period between when the coal plant is shut down and this new natural gas plant comes online?
They also just last week, there was a 150 megawatt solar farm that was approved. It's not owned by Dairyland, but they have a contract to take the power. That's in Jefferson County. That's scheduled to come online probably in late 2021. That will still leave a little bit of a gap for them, but they say they can contract for capacity. There's wholesale markets where they can contract from somebody else or do a few other things to fill in the gap.
So kind of a patchwork. Yeah, a patchwork. Chris Hubbuck is with us, covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. We're talking about a utilities plan to close its coal-fired power plant and build a natural gas plant in Superior. Join in 800-642-1234. So, Chris, the Genoa Station is located on the banks of the Mississippi River. Has Dairyland given any indication about what this site will do with the site or what will happen there?
Yeah, I think once they stop operations next year, they'll start decommissioning the plant, which they could take up to 3 years. I mean, these are just huge, huge concrete buildings. They do have some other things at the site. Number one, they've got some nuclear, spent nuclear fuel that's in dry cask storage. And with nothing on the horizon for the federal government to take that fuel, they're probably going to be stuck babysitting it for certainly the near future, if not indefinitely. And they also have a backup control center. Otherwise, you know, they said they're still reevaluating the site, and it potentially could end up being a site for some sort of renewable energy installation. They do have a lot of, you know, they've got substations and transmission lines coming in there. So there's a lot of infrastructure they could use if they wanted to redevelop.
And this will displace 80 people. Has Dairyland said anything about the workers in the situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's largely been the focus of their communications, is concern for the workers. They're offering, retraining programs. They say they're trying to make positions, internal positions available where possible, but their closest coal plant is up the river in Alma, which would, you know, it's a pretty long commute for somebody who lives in Genoa. I think they're very concerned. 80 jobs is a lot, especially for a small community like Genoa.
Let's bring in Jeff now in Delafield with thoughts on this. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My question is more of a general question, not specifically related to the Dairyland facility. But I was wondering if your guest has ever heard of any discussion of some of the more negative trade-offs with a conversion to wind and solar. For example, how much land mass or land is required to be basically devoted to solar generation to have an appreciable impact, as well as the deforestation that is required to construct large solar facilities. And there's also an article on Bloomberg News this morning where wind turbine blades are non-recyclable, and there's starting to be issues in landfills of trying to determine what to do with the blades.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Cost-benefit analysis, Chris, on alternative energies. What have you found there?
There's certainly a lot of concern about land use with solar now that Wisconsin is starting to see some large scale developments. They take up about roughly 7 acres per megawatt. So some of these really big solar farms can take 2,000 acres or more. On the other hand, when you look at more than 9 million acres of just cropland that Wisconsin has, we could pretty much replace all the coal-fired generation with solar and use less than 1% of just the cropland. And I'm not aware of anyone cutting trees to make room for these, at least not in Wisconsin. These are generally developed on open land.
Well, Chris, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Chris Hubbuck covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Coming up, we recap last night's State of the Union address. Stay with us. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network.